It would be easy to pile on the celebrity-driven story of covered-up sexual abuse within the prominent Duggar family of reality television's 19 Kids and Counting fame, but that would be both unpleasant and pointless. However, this sad story does give us the opportunity to re-examine how this extreme lifestyle of secrecy and control can open the door to abuse and victim blaming. Joining me right now is Vicki Garrison, who is a survivor of many years of quiverful family life, and today provides a resource for other survivors at her Patheos blog titled No Longer Quivering. Vicki, thanks for doing this. Welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What were you feeling as you watched this long hidden story break publicly?
I feel like it is heartbreaking. It's tragic. It's not in any way shocking to me. I didn't think, oh, wow, I can't even believe that happened. I'm actually surprised that, you know, this hasn't come to light sooner.
Are there things about the Duggars' purportedly religious lifestyle that you see as increasing the risk of abuse?
I do. I think number one, just the sheer number of children makes it very difficult to supervise, to properly attend to and raise these children, because it's one thing to birth them, you know, to reproduce like rabbits. It's another thing to actually raise your children, to be able to focus enough on what's going on with your children, to know them well enough to be able to catch things like this. And in the Duggar family, at the time that this happened, according to reports, was around 2002, 2003, Michelle would have had 14 children, ages 14 and under. And in the midst of that, she's got her own health issues to deal with. She's, you know, she's got to be exhausted from having so many children in such a short time. And just to be able to keep up with the logistics and the organization and the, you know, the daily life, chores, and et cetera, let alone really being able to pay attention individually to your children, it's just a setup right there. But there's more. You know, there's these teachings within Quiverful that are very central, and one of them is patriarchy, the idea that women are basically created for the purpose of serving their men. They're there as helpmeets. They're there to do whatever they can to make the man's success in his work that God has given him. You know, the teaching is that God has given a mission to the man, and his family is there to support him and to help him to fulfill that. And so there's this idea that, you know, women are very much objectified and very much treated as they're for the man. And so that is going to be playing within the mindset. And then there's this emphasis on modesty, on the idea that women's bodies, female bodies, are just this irresistible temptation to men and to boys. And, you know, that's why they have to be covered completely, and they have to be very careful not to in any way defraud. That's a word that the Duggars use often. You don't want to defraud your brother. And they even have showed them on the program where they're out in public and the older girls will spot another female who is not covered enough. Maybe she's wearing shorts or a halter top or whatever. And they'll shout out Nike, which is a signal for the boys to look down at their shoes, to avert their eyes so that they won't be tempted by the female body. And so you can see where there's so much in that situation where things are just dysfunctional. They are not healthy relational concepts, and it can lead to a lot of abuse.
Just in case we have listeners that don't understand the mission of the Quiverful movement.
The premise of Quiverful, the basic idea there is that children are an unmitigated blessing from God. That comes from a Bible verse in Psalm 127, which says, children are a blessing from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them. And there's always this emphasis on spiritual warfare, that it's a spiritual warfare, but that whole militant concept is foremost within the quiverful ideology. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is they're saying, you know, we are going to birth these arrows and sharpen them and use the skill to basically take over, outpopulate the ungodly, the secular population. This idea of catching this vision, mm-hmm. this vision of God's plan for taking back America for God, and it is mainly an American phenomenon, mm-hmm. although it is spreading. I've seen groups in Australia, in the UK, in Germany. It's growing around the world, but it's mostly been focused in America, and it's very much a theonomist kind of, we're going to take back America for God, we're going to create a godly society for Jesus.
You've seen a lot of these families, so what would be the dynamics typically between the children in the family?
It's a little harder for me to speak for the children because I do work with a lot of the kids, they're young adults now, who have grown up in this movement, and I've realized that I just can't quite get their perspective, having been the mom in the situation. Mm-hmm. But from what they've told me, basically they're born with their whole life already laid out, pre-planned, chapter and verse for what God wants for them to do with their lives. Mm-hmm. And so they're born with this idea that they have this mission, that this is their purpose. If they want to please God, they need to follow this path. Especially in the large quiverful families, there is this tendency to parentify the children because it is such a harsh, demanding lifestyle. And to be able to keep up with a large-sized family, the moms have got to rely on those older children. Mm-hmm. They need to be their helpers. They need to be in there working along with them. And the Duggars, they often talk about the buddy system that they have in place where, you know, as soon as a new one is born, they're paired up with one of the older children, and that older child is their buddy who is responsible for the daily care, you know, as far as making sure that they're eating right, getting them dressed, bedtime routines, all of these kind of things are actually the responsibility of the older children. So when you've got a child, you know, because they're minor children, they might be a little older, a little more mature, but they're still children. And they are, you know, basically responsible for their younger siblings. You know, we call them sister moms. They're raising their younger siblings. And so the dynamic is really messed up. It's very confusing. It's very unfair to these older children to have to raise their younger siblings.
And Vicki, apparently there were church members who were aware of what happened with the Duggar's oldest son involving his younger sisters. Did it surprise you to hear that they participated in the cover-up?
It does not surprise me, because within fundamentalist Christianity, there is this idea of, you know, God's channels of authority, the way that you are to deal with a brother who sins. First of all, it needs to be handled within the family. And, you know, the dad being basically responsible for whatever is going on in his own home. And so, first of all, they're going to handle it just within the family themselves. And if they feel like they need outside help, then biblically they would need to go to the elders of their church, which Jim Bob did. But then even, you know, within the church, they have this idea that it's a spiritual issue. It doesn't really occur to people in this fundamentalist mindset that, no, this is actually a legal issue. Mm-hmm. This is actually a crime. They're saying, well, this is a sin problem. And so they're going to look at spiritual means of addressing the situation.
In a male-dominated, authoritarian, and isolated environment like this, what can a victim do to get help?
It's very difficult. And the situations that I am familiar with, it has, you know, nearly always been that somebody from the outside who hasn't quite bought into this full-fledged fundamentalist mindset, they're the ones who see a problem and they go and intervene and get some help. Otherwise, it is very difficult because they are so isolated. They have no resources.
Knowing what you know about the dynamics of this kind of family, how do you see this playing out? Not on screen, but how do you see it playing out in this family? How would you expect this to get resolved?
Well, I mean, unless they are willing to just actually confront reality, they are living in an alternate universe in their heads in which everything is spiritualized. Everything has to be filtered and interpreted according to ultimate eternal consequences. They're already doing this when Jim Bob and Michelle released a statement on their Facebook page. They said that, you know, this is something that has drawn their whole family closer to God. And so God is using this, and they're saying, you know, we hope that this turns out to be a testimony and that the world who is looking on, that you will all see the kindness of God because he brought us through even in really difficult circumstances. So, you know, there's just a lot of rationalization. There's a lot of disconnect. It's very difficult to see that, you know, unless some major switch finally goes on in Jim Bob and Michelle's head, they're just going to continue in this same kind of not really confronting the actual issue because they're too busy dealing with the spiritual realm in their heads.
Vicki Garrison spent many years in a fundamentalist quiverful family before freeing herself. Today she blogs at No Longer Quivering at Patheos and works to help other survivors of this extreme fundamentalist model of family. And I thank you for making time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Yes, thank you for having me.